First Peter chapter 3 again, or First Peter 1 be all right. First Peter chapter 1. And let's, going to do just a couple minutes review from this morning, get our minds back into what we're talking about. But tonight I want to follow up on this and continue to talk about living up to our priesthood as a believer. First Peter 1 and 2 and 3 there. And this morning we look, for example, at chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And look at verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And we looked at a few verses this morning about this idea that a New Testament believer is a priest before God. Okay? We established that in the Old Testament, if you were looking on your left, that they had priests and a high priest, and in the New Testament we have the great high priest and ourselves under him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you get hold of that, and then you say, "Well, Lord, why are we called that? Why would He bother?" Now watch, if there is no need for a priesthood, if the priesthood existed for expressly for offering sacrifices for sins, if that was all there was, then why would He bother saying there's one now? Because that's not all they did. They did all kinds of things in the Old Testament. I'll give you an example. Come over for a minute to, this is just a little extra, Ezra. Come to Ezra. Or Nehemiah, rather. Come to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. Okay? Nehemiah 8. And this is just a little extra by way of showing you that these fellas had a lot of different things. And I mentioned to you this morning the fact that we are supposed to preserve the Word of God. We are to be stewards over the Word of God. We are to be the ones who preserve it. Look what it says about Ezra. All the people, Nehemiah 8:1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest, verse 4, he calls him Ezra the scribe. Ezra's both. And you and I have a stewardship as priests before God because their role was not just. One of the roles was to offer, and the high priest did it every year, and then priest offered daily, but that has been taken care of. We established that all through the book of Hebrews this morning. So, with that in mind, though, we started looking at the terms that Simon Peter uses, and they are through the epistles also. Paul writes and uses some different phrases also that are Old Testament phrases that are connected, of course, to God's people. We looked in Exodus chapter 19, he spoke of his people as being a kingdom of priests. But Paul himself writes and uses these Old Testament words. He says, "Unto the church of God was at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. He uses this. We talk about John 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So the picture is this. It's a holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2, 5. It's a royal priesthood. So, royal priesthood. That must be that we're made kings and priests unto God. Amen? Revelation 1, verse 6. Revelation 5, verse 10. The whole setup. We are unto God kings and priests. We are to rule as He tells us to rule, and we are to be priests under Him on a daily. Our life is a priesthood. We know He applies some principles of the Levites to the ministry. We understand that out of 1 Corinthians 9. He says you don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn, and he talks about living of the altar. But he didn't limit this thing of being a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, to the ministry. Because we are all supposed to be dealing with, thinking about, living like we were priests in the Old Testament. They weren't priests to get to heaven. It was what God appointed them to be. And you and I, He tells us that. We have this here in the book. We looked at some of those terms. And the terms like sanctification, the terms like sprinkling, fire. We notice here that he talks about fire purifying. That's what they used, was they offered up things by fire. Do you know that when you offer up your life, come to Romans 12, review this with me a minute. We'll probably need to come back to it, but I want to use just a couple of extra verses here as a way of review to bring our hearts and minds back into this thing a little bit. All right, now, Simon's, Peter's terms are Old Testament priesthood terms. Why? Because in the New Testament, a believer, we're a whole generation. We're a kingdom of priests unto God. We get rid of all the other weird things we might see, the distortions out there, Roman Catholicism and all that kind of thing, and Mormonism. And we say, okay, Lord, give me a good old-fashioned practical thing here. And that is, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Romans 12, look at verses 1 and 2. Watch. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, ready, a living sacrifice. So when God puts you through the fire, are you ready? If you've already died to self, it's not the same as if he puts you through the fire and you're still trying to stay alive. I've preached several times in my life on Christians who are buried alive. Man, I don't know if you've ever read up on it, but buried alive is a bad thing to have happen to you. And they've, you know, dug up caskets and stuff and found proof, you know, splinters in people's fingernails, all kind of wild and crazy stuff, where they got buried alive and woke up and nobody knew it ever. That's pretty wild, isn't it? You know, that's a lot of Christians. God says, here's what I want for your life, because you never died to self, you're like this all the time. Fighting, 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 fighting. And God says, if you were dead to self, we wouldn't have this fight going on. Y'all need to nod your heads because you know I'm telling you the truth. Some of you fight, fight, fight God because you're not dead to self. You've got too much self in there. You've got too much ambition, too many things you want to have happen. God says, if you'll just die to self, look, a living sacrifice, watch, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen, whenever you start reading that thing like reasonable service, that's priestly service. Think of it that way. I'm a priest going about the service of the tabernacle and the temple, which we're going to talk about what on earth that would be in the New Testament. But I think you've already got a hint, amen? So, we are to be a kingdom of priests unto God. Many of the things that we do and we respond to and God asks of us is because we are priests. He wants a whole nation, a whole kingdom. Nation being saved people, not geopolitical. He wants a whole nation of people who are priests unto him, who offer up spiritual sacrifice. Well, what's one of these spiritual sacrifices? It's obviously your body. Present your body a living sacrifice. So let's talk about, we've talked about some of the terms, now let's talk about the types. Let's talk about the types. In Exodus chapter 29, which we looked at Exodus a little bit this morning, in Exodus 29, he's going to hallow them, is one of the words he uses. And the picture is that we are to be hallowed. We ourselves are to be such. Exodus 29:1, this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. Something has to be done to hallow somebody, to set them aside for God. Now, verse 4, Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, shall wash them with water. What does our Bible say water is when it comes with washing with water by the Word? You see, in order for you and I to do our priestly service, we've got to stay in the book because this book washes us. Now, that's not just enough because he took blood in verse 20, and we'll get down there in a minute, actually. Verse 7, then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. What's this oil a type of, obviously? The Holy Spirit. You know what else is a type of oil? Is our prayers going up to God through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 9. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, the girdle of truth. We're to put on the armor of God so we can be a good priest. On Aaron and his sons, put the bonnets on them. Surely that means bowl caps, but anyway. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. Look, thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Now, Look at verse 20. This is really interesting. Watch this. Thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood. Now watch, put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron. So that means that God has claimed and washed, and he's supposed to have a sanctified what? Ear. He's not supposed to hear things he ain't supposed to hear. How about that? Then he said, upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, tip of the right ear of his sons, not upon the thumb of their right hand. Well, your hand, your thumb, is what makes your hand different than any creature on earth. It's about your hands. So God owns your hands. See? If you're saved. I'm a priest, and I need to have clean hands. And then he even goes so far, and he says that upon the great toe of their right foot, my feet can only take me where I'm supposed to go. And he says, sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now watch, verse 21. Thou shalt take of the blood that's upon the altar and of the anointed oil and sprinkle upon Aaron upon his what? Garments. Guess what else is supposed to be holy? Your dress. Your attire. That's not legalism. That is a Holy Ghost application that says we're to be holy and we're to be habitual in our holiness and we're to be hallowed. At all times. Because that's what we are. We are on earth. We are the ones who are supposed to be God's priests. That's why the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. That's why the Holy Spirit says, don't dress like that. Now what happens is people have lost touch with their Bible, so they don't teach the believer this, and the believer can't see that, and they think it's all about, well, these guys, well, brother so-and-so says, and this denomination says, no, it's what does God say? This is powerful stuff, what he put right in here. You say, well, that's over in Exodus. Yeah, praise the Lord, amen. That's why he said in 1 Peter, we're to be priests, so we'd go running back and say, well, what's this all about? See, these guys weren't getting saved this way. It's about service. It is about God saying, you serve me. And he goes, yes, sir, I'll be hallowed unto you. My hands, my feet, my ears, my garments. You know, you ladies, sometimes you, if you're not careful, sometimes you think, well, you're being a little bit narrow. No, no. If it's not something that can stay modest all the time, when you're moving around, doing tasks, then you wouldn't wear it in the tabernacle. You wouldn't want to have to be going around the tabernacle always pulling down your shirt. You wouldn't get nothing done. And at least one of God's people is about to say amen, because me, amen. I'm dead serious. Look, he shall be hallowed, verse 21, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And it goes all the way through here. Talks about taking a loaf of bread, verse 23, and a cake of oiled bread. Listen, he's saying your whole life is consecrated. Do you know something? Now you follow with me a minute. Back when to be a believer and carry a Bible like you've got in your hands, a Bible, back when it meant do it at the risk of life or death, the people who did it also lived consecrated because of the consecration it took to carry it. But then time went on, and so much doctrine became... You can turn on a radio right now, you can turn on a radio even in Huntsville, and you can pick up people who are not even like us, and they're saying all the normal doctrines. Eternal security, second coming of Christ, all the stuff. But guess what they're never going to really talk about? What is it to be a hallowed, consecrated Christian? You know what? They'll talk about consecration day and night and never relate it to your fully personal life. They'll talk a little bit about maybe not getting drunk or maybe not alcohol and not, you know, immorality. But that's where they stop. God says, that's not hallowed. That's not even half of hallowed. That's hallowed. And I'm saying to you, if you're not careful, child of God, you'll think it's all about, well, it's uncomfortable. God, can you imagine how uncomfortable some of this stuff was in the tabernacle? Can you imagine how hot it got in that tabernacle? No air conditioning, that thing. In the desert sometimes, whew. God says, I am so pleased that you're hallowed. The types. Come over to Leviticus chapter 10 while you're right there at Exodus. Leviticus 10. Listen, this is an important thing. I could go on and on. I promise there are so many things that we could talk about. There's so many applications, and I'm trusting God to make the application in your heart, because you should look at your hands, your eyes, your ears, your feet, your clothes. You should go through every single piece of clothing and say, is there a chance that if I was doing my job, I have to constantly be worried about... Let me tell you something, what the world does. And you girls need to listen to me. The world makes the styles, and you think, I got to be this way, and it does it to make you a little bit compromised. You wouldn't want a guy to dress the way some girls dress, even so-called modest Christian girls. You wouldn't want the guy to come in without a shirt tucked in. You wouldn't want the guy to come in. Do you know that in the late 1800s, it was considered horrible immodesty to wear for a woman to wear a garment that wouldn't protect her all the time by the world? So watch this. Watch this. Leviticus chapter 10. You remember these two guys. Chapter 10, verse 1, Nadab and Abihu. They went down in history as what? As two guys that got fired from the priesthood. I suspect to this day that that's one of the reasons we use the word. These guys were Aaron's sons. Look, the sons of Aaron. They were the first priest with Aaron. They're special fellows. Let's see what happens. They took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. They said, we're going to do it a new way. We're going to do it our way. This just seems so much more exciting. It smells so much better. There's so much more of this. It's so much easier. Let's see what happened to them. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You know what Moses is saying? He looked right at his brother and said, don't you dare complain. This is what God told them. They disobeyed him. They brought something to God that they were as priests, they were sending up incense. They were, let me tell you something. God does care how you do things. God cares how you say, well, he doesn't strike people dead now. You're right, he doesn't. But it's only because it's called the Church Age of Grace. He did tell you how he feels about it in the early part of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira decided to pull a little scam on the church. He said, I'll let you know how I feel about this. Now, look on here. Look at this. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp. And Moses, as Moses had said, and Moses said unto Aaron, now watch, unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. He said, don't you dare weep. Don't you dare show compassion about these two violators getting burnt, getting fired. Why? Because they were priests. You say, well, that just sounds too hard. No, it doesn't. He's a holy God. Listen, I want you to think about something as a believer for a minute. Do you realize what God's given you in Jesus Christ? Do you realize what privileges he's given you and me? He sent his son to die for you, but then he gave you eternal security. He said, no matter what you do, I've sealed you unto the day of redemption, and you are safe. Now, if he would do that, don't you reckon he deserves back every single bit of service I could offer it? If I had five lifetimes, I couldn't come close to really saying thank you, because I'm going to live forever. While we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So now if he did that for us, what do you think? Don't you think we ought to go the extra mile? Don't you think we ought to say, Lord, I don't want to have any strange fire. I don't want any carnal substitutes, Lord, for your way. Look at Ezra chapter 2 on the way back. Ezra 2. And I'm saying to you here, if you would get this view, if a believer would get this view, that it is a great privilege to be a child of God. I am so wore out with Christians acting like they have rights once they get saved. I admit it. It drives me to distraction. I hear it on, they're preaching and teaching in such a way as if God's whole purpose is for you to get your little life fulfilled. And a better life and fulfilling, and He'll just turn it around and He'll make your life so full. That's not what I'm supposed to make my life empty for Him. I'm supposed to give myself for Him. He died for me, amen. He saved me, gave me eternal security when I was a sinner, when I was yet without strength. Look at Ezra chapter 2. Ezra 2. In Ezra chapter 2, they're going through these people that came back to help establish worship. But some of them, verse 62, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood, as polluted. A priest could get himself polluted. Now, do you remember in the New Testament he told you to avoid the pollutions of the world? How about that? Do you not see that all through this Bible, what God's doing is He's showing us to be just like those priests? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, where He told us we had escaped. We've escaped the pollutions of the world. You might want to write it down. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2. And we'll grab the actual verse here. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. 20 or 22. Down through there. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled there and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. He says we are to stay escaped of these pollutions. Amen. So a priest can come polluted. Hey, King James Bible, you ready? In Acts 15... when he's telling them what to preach to the Gentiles, in Acts chapter 15, he's giving them their charge. And in verse 20, we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. So one of the great dangers to a Christian in the church age right now, 2009, is idols. Oh no, no, not just something, you go down there and a Buddha, anything. He said covetousness, which is idolatry. So you see, as priests, we're supposed to be on the lookout saying, Lord, I don't want to get fired. Now, watch. You say, well, you can't get fired. You're eternally secure. Oh, yeah. There's a fire in 1 Corinthians 3 you can get. And I don't want that fired. Amen. I remember my grandma used to do, you know, ceramic, pottery and stuff, and they would do all that stuff, and when I was a little guy, I'd go with her, and they'd give me some little piece of nothing to do, because it'd keep me busy, and then they'd put it in there, and they'd fire it. Buddy, I don't want the Lord putting what I got in there, and it come, wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want that to happen to me. Now, the application is this. He said, we're a peculiar people. We're peculiar people. He said in 2 Peter 3, like we preached this past week, to stir up your pure minds. Okay? So if we're a peculiar people, we are to be a priesthood. And you are supposed, instead of thinking, what can I get by with? What's wrong with this? We're supposed to be saying, what's right? Lord, is this right? Lord, is this the way you want it done? Why? Because we're priests. Let's talk about the tasks. Come to Hebrews for a minute, chapter 13. Now, we know their task was to offer up things. Okay? Their task was to offer up things. We looked at Ezra in Nehemiah 8, where his task was the scriptures. And we don't want to become... You know, when you read the book of Jeremiah, one of the things you come away with there is he's warning the shepherds, and he's warning the leaders. And in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them that they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. They have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. What was their problem? They were refusing God's hand upon their life. And so he gets to the end of the chapter, and here's what he says. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? Now, if that does not describe an independent fundamental Baptist church, I don't know one. And I've been in them for 35 years. the preachers preach falsely, and the priests, the church is ruled by whoever's got the best means, by money. See, this Bible's up to date. This Bible in Jeremiah 5 is not limited to some off way out there or something in the back past. It's right there. It's right there. Do you know in Judges chapter 17, Dan takes one of his own sons and makes him a priest? That's where all this idolatry comes from. Now, the task. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews 13. This is a good passage now to get a hold of. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to picture with me what it is that God says for us to be. He says, be priests. He says, offer up spiritual sacrifices. So let's look down through here a little bit. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Okay? Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We are literally to offer it the way a priest would. Do you know that God wants to see us with such holiness and hallowedness, such habitual praise, that he sees us literally offering up sacrifices of praise? That's why it doesn't say, for everything give thanks. It says, in everything, in all things give thanks. Because you can't thank God for everything, but you could thank him in everything. And that's important. Look at verse 16. But to do good, watch, and to communicate, forget not. For with such what? Sacrifices. So the New Testament talks about sacrifice. Now, you know how the average modern Christian thinks of the word sacrifice? They think they're giving up something. No, a sacrifice is offering up something. It's not giving up something. It's I'm offering up to God. And so as a priest, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to learn to be thankful for you've got to learn to be thankful for where God puts you. Thankful for how he's working in your life. But he says, I want you to do good, to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices. Instead of saying, oh, I'm sacrificing, oh, Lord, I'm offering up. We're a priest. That's how we're supposed to think, our tasks. Now, we don't offer up blood. We don't have to. We don't offer up for our sins. We're not atoning for our sins. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices. And he said, when we do those things, he's well pleased. In the context, do good, to communicate. The word communicate is to talk and everything. It's also to give. It encompasses all that. He says what? Forget not. Why? Because that priest was supposed to remember when to offer. You know, they had to offer certain things at certain times in certain ways. Do you know it wouldn't hurt you to understand and say, Lord, I need to stay in touch with you. I need to stay in touch with you. But I need to get in your book and make sure I'm doing it your way. Now, he's not into just ceremony and all that, but let me say something to you. I know by watching anybody how much respect they have for what they're about to do. Don't you? Amen? You know if they're about to do something to somebody they respect higher themselves, they're going to respond accordingly. Always. And that's why Christians, you know, they don't respect God Almighty like they're supposed to. See, it's not a matter of saying, well, can't you worship God in shorts and a t-shirt? It's not can't. It's will he let you? And is it appropriate? And would a priest show up like that? See, that's what it's about. You say, well, what about people who don't know better? That's why we teach it. That's why we preach it. That's why we show them grace. But 99 out of people who say, what about them who don't know better, do know better. Amen. Amen. I know what I'm saying. The tasks. So our task, ready? Whatsoever you do, do what? Heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive reward. Because just as that priest did it, we're supposed to do it. Our life is a priesthood. We are his priests. Now, that's why people should say, you're weird. Why do you do it that way? Let me tell you something. I got a whole lot of respect for many of the Mennonite guys I worked for because people knew they did it differently. Now, some of them, the poor guys, they were trying to be part of their salvation. But they were willing to be peculiar. And it wasn't weirdo stuff. It was just plain old modesty and different things they did and the way they did things and how they talked and everything. Their tasks were done in that way. Now, tabernacles and temples. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. these fellas in the Old Testament under Moses, what did they work? They ministered where? At the tabernacle. At and about the tabernacle. Okay? Now, when Solomon came along and built his temple, about 1,000 B.C., 1,000 years before Christ, then they started doing it in the temple. Now, isn't your Bible an amazing book? Because here we're going to see something. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this, what? Tabernacle. Then the Bible tells me where the priest ministers in the New Testament. In his body. My body. You say, yeah, I know it says it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's also both the tabernacle before Solomon, and it's the temple. You can't miss it. Look, as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Now, you already know the verses, and if not, you need to look them up sometime. But you know the Bible says, you know, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. In other words, your body and my body is God's spiritual temple. So not only is the ear and the thumb, the hand and the feet and the garments, not only they're hallowed as if I'm a priest, but my whole body is God's tabernacle. And I'm not supposed to do nothing with God's tabernacle, God's temple, or in God's tabernacle temple that wouldn't be befitting the service of God. So what I hear, what I do, what I believe, what I see, what I watch, what I partake of, what I drink, what I eat, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Why? Because I'm a priest and this is His tabernacle and temple. Man, this is big stuff. Now, you are now the tabernacle. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 13. Ready? Watch this. 1 Peter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and hope to the end for the grace that has been brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, watch. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, that must include the tabernacle, what you put it in. That's why it's called fashion. It's not just how you form your own mind, although that's so. It's you and I are supposed to not look like we're a priest of the devil, or we're a priest of the heathen, or we're a priest of anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, verse 15, as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And you and I know the word conversation in your English language is not just what you say, it's your whole life. Verse 16, mark it. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am what? Holy. He said, be ye holy. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hastening to the coming day of God. This is powerful stuff. It's powerful to understand that that tabernacle is supposed to be holy. It is supposed to be so different than anything else on earth. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's bring it home a little more so we can understand it. 1 Peter 3. This is this Simon Peter's epistle on being a priest and on a priesthood. He says in 1 Peter 3, he starts off with the wives, and he talks about their conversation, verse 2, chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning. Let it not be that outward adorning, plaited of the hair, wearing of gold, put on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not what? Not corruptible. Not corruptible. See? Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God of great price. Now watch. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and not afraid of any amazement. He said, ladies, here's how you do your priesthood. He's just telling them, have a chaste priesthood. Your attitudes, your beliefs, your thinking. Now, don't you think that if this is God's way, then the world and the flesh and the devil are going to push on you to become a polluted priest? an attainted priest. And God would love to see you a fired priest. I mean, he talked about turning people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Well, I don't want God doing that to me. I'd like for him to take me home, but not because he had to destroy me. Amen. Fashioning, adorning. Picture that when that Old Testament priest was about his duties, he looked like a priest. And you know, I'm not talking about you got to wear, you know, black pants, white shirt, black hat, all that. I'm not talking about that. But you do know that what I'm saying to you is this. What I'm saying to you is that you and I are to go about our life in such a way that everything we do says, priest of God. We're to conduct our services, our music, our dress, our entertainment, if there is any. My most people I know are enough entertainment if you just listen to them long enough. But the whole idea is this. You are not supposed to live your life for you. You're not supposed to say, well, what makes me feel good? Well, what is fun? What is wonderful? What is great? What is entertaining? God says, no, you're a priest. Do you know what there was not in the temple? There was no place to sit down in the temple. You know why? Because you ain't supposed to be sitting. You're supposed to be doing God's work. And so I'm saying to you that we have to get our minds around the fact of this. Now, what is the truth to be learned? We talk about the terms and the types and the tasks and the tabernacle and temple. And the truth to be learned is you need to live like a priest before God. Because you will be judged on whether or not you've been a faithful servant, a faithful priest. We should be holy. We should have the habits of a priest. We should be hallowed. We should honor God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest. We should live our lives. So let me say this to you. Bring it right down where some people can get it. The whole idea about what should a woman wear, for example. The most absolute, most modest thing. If you have to keep adjusting what you're wearing as a woman, it's immodest. If you have to keep pulling it down or pulling it up or whatever, it's immodest. Because you're constantly messing. That means you're self-conscious about it. And you know you are. But why? Because that priest. You know that priest wore undergarments under his garments so that when he went up the steps, no one would see any nakedness. Why? Because he's a priest. Not because he's trying to work his way to heaven. Because he's a priest. And you're a priest. Music. Music shouldn't have anything to do with the world type of music. All this stuff nowadays about entertainment and movies and stuff. You know why that stuff? People are watching stuff. They're letting stuff go on. And God says, wait a minute, I put blood on your ear. I put blood on your thumb. I put blood on your feet. I put blood on your garments. You're not supposed to be doing that. And this is my tabernacle. This is my temple. What are you doing? Because you're the temple of God. I mean, all those things are things that are so easy to see. You say, well, what about everybody? Now look, we could go for hours. You know this. You run some of the references as a believer. You run the references sometimes in your Bible reading and say, wow, look at this whole generation of priests. Look what God says in Jeremiah about them. Look what God says in Ezekiel about them. Look what happened in Judges. Look what happened in 2 Kings. There are two lines of priests. There's two lines of Bibles. King James and all the rest. Ain't no doubt about it. I've shown it to you. I can show it to you 100 times a year. There's two lines of priests. There's two lines of saved, professing Christians. Someone says, oh, you're just in that old-time way. No, I'm in that old-time as in I want to hearken back to what God gave me as an example. I want to get this thing right. And you know me, I'm as practical as can be. Ain't no legalistic bone about it. But I'm going to tell you this, just because I find it, listen, Melchizedek's way before Moses. And they could tell he was a priest. And you and I know that God says, I want you to be like a Christian. I want you to think. See, instead of thinking, what do I have to do? What can I get away with? And so, well, if somebody tells me it's wrong, I won't. If somebody doesn't, and somebody says it's okay. I don't care who says it's okay. What does God say? I'm thoroughly convinced. If you and I want to know, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to us. And let me tell you something. Too many people want him to talk without opening the book. They don't want to open the book. They want to tell you that, well, you got to be careful. You can know too much of that book. Yeah. You can know too much of that book. That, well, I'll bet the devil, he hates that, because the devil wants you to learn your Bible, right? Yeah, mm-hmm, sure. No! He doesn't want you to learn your Bible. You can't know too much of this book. If you're not careful, you're looking for a way not to know any more of it, and you have to as a believer. Or you're looking to say, you know, does it always have to come down to the Bible? Well, what else would it come down to? One day, God had blessed David, and they were going to bring the ark into town. And he had everything ready. He had them all dressed up. He sanctified them. He consecrated. He had the guys playing the music. He had the singers ready. They are jazzed up. I mean, they are pumped up. They are excited. And old Uzzah gets killed. And David says, whoa, stop. Pull that thing aside. Party's over today. And he went back and he got in his Bible and he found out how God said to do it. And then he cranked them up. And I think they were excited this time, but I really believe they probably were just a little hesitant at first. And he said, now here's what God said, and here's how he said to do it. And even the guys that were supposed to carry it instead of pulling on a cart, imagine when they picked it up, they were like, Lord, now Lord, we're following your word. The last guy didn't make it. And then by the time they got to town, you know what they were excited about? They found the way. I'm going to tell you, there's more in this book than you think. And God says, you and I are priests. We need to think that way. Lord, I'm a priest before you. Lord, I need to come before you. I need to come into your presence. Lord, how do I serve you? Lord, what do I do? And Lord, one day you're going to say, were you a faithful priest or an unfaithful priest? So let's pray. Father, we pray you take this truth. We just barely touched the basis of it, Lord, the foundation of it. But I do believe that those who are looking, Father, will just study it out and continue to see it manifested in the Word of God. Lord, you said this is what we are. For me, Lord, it has always explained so many things, why you have us do them so close and so narrow, so sanctified, so separated. Lord, it just explains it all to me. It makes it just as clear as day that you have a generation of saved people that you want us all to be priests unto you. And Father, I mean this. I pray you would do the same for others. I pray you do it for the same for these dear folk right here, Lord, that you'd take these people and just all their life, Lord, and their children's lives, they'd be able to say, well, you know, the reason we do this is we're priests unto God. Now, Father, in my heart, I know they're not going to explain to a lost person that way, but they don't understand anything anyway. And they may not be able to explain it to an idolatrous, polluted generation. They didn't want to do it right, Lord. They decided to have idolatry. But, Lord, there's a lot of people out there that need to hear it, and I pray you'd use us, each of us, Lord, to take it out there, to give it to new converts, to teach them as we go through life. Lord, this is a great and powerful truth to me. This helps me to go the extra mile, to be separated, sanctified, consecrated. Because if it was just you and I on a deserted island, Lord, I'd be the same way I am now because you're looking down and I'm your priest unto you. We offer thanksgiving tonight, Lord. We offer the sacrifice of praise tonight. We offer ourselves tonight. And we offer, Lord, you to have rule over us. For we love you. And we appreciate you, and we glory in you, and we worship you. And we pray it, Father God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.